Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Let me start with the NBA, believe it or not. With all the football coming up this weekend, I do want to start with the association. Reason for that, Russell Westbrook made his return to Oklahoma City last night, and it did start a firestorm that nearly broke Twitter altogether. Well, I'm not talking about Russ in the game and how the Thunder organization and the fans welcomed him back. I'm not talking about that. That part of it was actually great. And that's some goosebump material right there. Chills. And the tribute video they played was perfect, too, right down to the inclusion of some of his best press conference moments. In other words, OKC handled every part of that return really well, right down to beating Houston like a drum. But the real controversy was not on the floor. It was on Twitter. And it started with this tweet from Kendrick Perkins. Perk thumbed out the following, quote, "In about 30 minutes, I'm going to give my opinion on SportsCenter on why I believe that Russell Westbrook is the best player to have ever put on an Oklahoma City Thunder jersey. He is Mr. Thunder," end quote. All right, that's pretty interesting. Pretty interesting, pretty debatable, but what's not debatable is it was meant to get a reaction, and of course it did. A media member responded with this tweet, quote, "He put together the best career within that organization, but he's definitely not the best player to have ever put on a jersey for them. Come on, Perk," end quote. Of course, Perk responded, quote, "Hey, Kevin, left the door open and Russ walked right in," end quote. Media member, quote, "I think Russ walked right into the door called second round of the playoffs. Three straight times," end quote. Perk, quote, "KD lost in the second round without Russ when I was there. So, what that mean?" End quote. All right, so we got a little good back and forth going on. But then a challenger appears. Player number three enters the game. And that player is none other than Kevin Durant, who tweeted, quote, "Yeah, in our starting center, Kendrick Perkins averaged a whopping 2-3 during that series. You played hard, though, champ. LOL." End quote. Loud. Well, hello. Now we have ourselves a legitimate Twitter beef. The 10-time All-Star, 2-time Finals MVP, one of the best to ever do it, climbing up on the top rope and absolutely body-slamming his former teammate and alleged good friend, Kendrick Perkins. You know, nothing more condescending, nothing more patronizing, nothing more insulting than telling a starting center, an extremely proud dude at that, that he averaged 2-3 in a series, but that he, quote, "played hard though, champ, LOL." Laugh out loud. And that's outstanding. Say what you want about Kevin Durant. Say what you want about Kevin Durant being on Twitter, but let me give you a couple of facts. Number one, Kevin Durant really, really likes being on Twitter. Number two, if you tweet about Kevin Durant, there is a really good chance he's going to find you and respond. And number three, fact is, the guy's pretty good at Twitter. And he got Perk pretty good. No, make that really good. Jimmy Butler and TJ Warren have got nothing on this. So, how was Perk going to respond to that? Well, as only Perk could, by grabbing a table and cracking Durant over the head with it. Of course. Quote, "Boy, stop. You did the weakest move in NBA history. Up on a team 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals and then go join them the following season? Heart of a champion right there." End quote. Boom! Roasted. Have some. Out of here. He didn't just call Durant weak for joining the Warriors. He called it, quote, "the weakest move in NBA history." Now, at that point, just about everybody on Twitter had pulled the popcorn from the microwave and the salt from the cupboard, and they were just sitting there, chomping away, waiting for another response from KD. And it came. It came in the form of a GIF of a yawning sloth. You can read that one of a couple of ways. Either one, he's calling Perk's argument tired and boring. Or two, he's calling Perk himself tired and boring. But while you could take that gif in a couple of different ways, there is no mistaking what Durant tweeted next, because this thing just keeps going. Durant jumps in with, quote, "Weak is starting at center, playing real minutes with no production. Should have worked on your skills as much as I did," end quote. So now at this point, these two dudes are just standing in the middle of the ring and trading and landing haymakers. Like, you want to call me weak for going to Golden State? Yeah, well, hey, you big fella, you didn't do a damn thing in OKC other than eat minutes and cash checks and have virtually no impact whatsoever. And if KD's point was that Perkins did not make much of an impact in OKC, he might be right about that. But the big fella was about to make an impact with this tweet. Quote, "That's fine. You worked that hard and still had to go join a 73-9 team. Truth be told, you don't even feel like a real champ. You have a hard time sleeping at night, huh? Knowing that you took the coward way out." End of quote. Go ahead, shut it down. Let's go home.
Let's go!
You're a scared coward running off to Golden State. I mean, we've got him repeating that he bailed on OKC for a 73-9 team, and he chased that by saying, "You don't even feel like a real champ." And then followed that by saying, "You have a hard time sleeping at night, huh? Knowing that you took the coward way out." So what Perkins did here was he dug to the body, then he cracked him hard on the chin, then he bounced a haymaker right off the top of Durant's head. And that fight was over before KD even hit the canvas. Mike Tyson, in his prime, would be proud of those shots.
"You can't last 2 minutes in my world, bitch."
You wouldn't last 2 minutes in my world, bitch. So, in the aftermath of all of this, exactly what do we make of what just happened? Did we really just see two former teammates and friends bludgeon each other up on Twitter like that? Did these two just take turns going upside each other's head with a shovel or a 2x4, one tweet at a time? I mean, it sure appears that way, right? And knowing each of these two guys, that might very well be the case. Then again, knowing these two, they might just be trolling the entire world, trolling the rest of us, and texting each other while they're doing it and laughing their asses off. I mean, read that back again. Look at what Perkins did. He went right to the exact sore spots and made the same exact arguments that pretty much every egg makes on Twitter when it comes to Durant. So you tell me, real or fake? You might even ask, what the hell would these two guys be doing faking a beef on Twitter? Why would they do that? Or you might ask, why would they go in on each other the way they did on Twitter? I could pose either one of those questions, and I can answer both of those questions. In fact, I could answer both those questions with the same answer. Why would they do either of those things? Why does anybody do anything? Because they can. And knowing these two dudes, who knows? Like, I want it. I know what I want to be. I want it to be legit. I'm just not sure it is. Like, I'll be real. I'm not sure this is real. And if we are being real, we have to acknowledge these two are both a different breed of cat, right? In their own way. So no, I would not put it by them to be messing with all of you. Or it might be real because Kendrick is kind of an ornery guy. KD is kind of an ornery guy. Kendrick is prickly. KD is prickly. But if you had told me it was fake, I would have said, all right, just kept moving. You know, because Kendrick's kind of weird. KD's kind of weird. The biggest shock to me is that Kyrie Irving did not log on and get in the middle of it with some tweet about conspiracy theories and the third eye. Because Kyrie was the only piece missing from the weird guy trifecta. So, was Perkins, the guy who had Durant's back when he left Golden State for Brooklyn and was telling everybody that Golden State didn't appreciate him and that Durant had 1 foot out the door all of last season, is he suddenly going heel on Durant on Twitter? The guy who told everybody that Golden State was taking Durant for granted is, only a few months later, carving him on Twitter. You know, the way the worst people on Twitter go. I mean, I guess. Maybe. Seems kind of weird. Just like I could see them clowning around and messing with all of us. Like I said, bottom line, I know what I want this to be. I know what I really want this to be. But knowing these two guys, there's a really good chance that this is not what I want it to be. Don't get hooked. Don't get hooked. I'm not buying it. All right, so let's get together on this for a minute. The one thing that health experts, dietitians, athletes, and even top performers all seem to agree upon is the perfect diet does not exist. Even with a balanced, healthy diet, it can be so hard to cover all your nutritional bases through food alone, which is why there is Athletic Greens. The Athletic Greens Ultimate Daily All-in-One Health Drink has 75 proven vitamins, minerals, and whole food source ingredients, which make it easier for you to get that comprehensive nutrition without the need for a bunch of pills, powders, or complex routines. It comes down to this. It is the most complete supplement for a better you, and it's different than everything else I've ever tried. It's different because it is delivered in powder form, and it's mixed with water. Athletic Greens requires fewer capsules. It has amazing absorption, and it does not include any binders or fillers. In short, one scoop of Athletic Greens provides a convenient, affordable, and delicious solution to fill the gaps in your diet. So, if you're looking to boost your energy, strengthen your immune system, or support gut health, all important things, this is the very product for you. Athletic Greens simply takes the guesswork out of everyday good health. So why not try it? Jump on over to athleticgreens.com/Rome. Get my special offer right now. 20 free travel packs valued at $79 with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/Rome. Here he comes. He's got his own sounder. He's got his own theme. Take my head and then multiply it by 10 and you have his head. He's in studio. He is to my left. What's up, Deck? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Jim.
Are you nervous?
Just a touch, maybe, huh?
All right, you're all right. I got you. All right, so bring me up to date. Like, I mentioned that I dabble in this type of thing. How about gambling? Do you do it for entertainment purposes? And how long have you done it? You can be real.
Okay, I do it for entertainment purposes, and it's a completely different way to look at sports because, obviously, I'm a junkie. I'm going to watch every game anyways, so why not try a different way? I mean, I'm sitting there. It's kind of a rush, too. I mean, I've never really done any drugs or alcohol or anything like that. So this is kind of another rush.
What are you talking about, dude?
Me.
You drink? You drink? You're a Heineken guy?
I am a drinker, but not a big drinker.
Dude,
and
you
this
were blasting
kind of
at my
fix.
Hall of Fame party. What do you mean I don't do alcohol? What are you talking about? What are you tell me next? You don't gamble? All right, so are you good at it?
I think I'm pretty good at it. I mean, it's a hard, hard game. I think I hit on pretty good numbers when it comes to the NFL. The NFL is much harder than the other sports to me. Uh-huh. I mean, I think I'm still hitting on close to 60% of my NFL this year.
Really?
I haven't, you know, updated my account all season long, but the NBA does help a lot, and I've found some pretty nice little loopholes in the NBA.
All right, so when you say you have not updated your account, are you saying you haven't put more money into your account?
Right, exactly.
That's strong.
All season long, yep.
All right, so how did the NFL season go for you? Pretty successful.
Yeah, pretty successful. Had a few hot teams early on, and then they started fading. Green Bay and Arizona covered a lot early on, yep. And then later on the season, I started going down a little bit, but then I would say, who was the team? The Ravens obviously covered quite a bit, too. I think they probably covered more than most people. They helped me account quite a bit. So.
All right, so give me an idea. Like, either football-related or non-football-related, give me the other side. What was your worst beat in the last year or two?
That's easy. Last year, AFC Championship game, some guy decided to line up offsides and literally cost me. So the year before at the draft, I was in Vegas at a book, and I threw $100 down. I usually go to Vegas once or twice a year, so I go out there and I mean, it's my entertainment to keep me involved in all the sports and watching them and stuff like that. So I usually call.
Really? Because I pay you to stay involved in all the sports and watch them and all that. How about
that? Part two. That's nice, too. And then good. I use that money to go throw it at a casino, right? So what I do is I take two bets or three bets of teams that I really like, and then I always hedge them with something else to be like, okay, I can cover my butt, whatever, whatnot, which I did with the Patriots last year. But I threw down $100 on the Kansas City Chiefs last year, 40-1 odds. I had four dimes, man. And then he lined up offsides. That was, I knew going in, I had the right mentality for the whole thing, but that's still a gut punch.
Yeah, $4,000. Yeah, but you didn't, though, right? You had $4,000. Had you spent that money?
Maybe. Maybe a little bit, yep.
All right, so now on the other side, you've had some really good picks. You took the Washington Nationals before the season at 10-1, and that paid off. What did you see about them that you liked, and how did that win feel?
So for the baseball ones, I usually go with, if they have an ace or two like Scherzer and Strasburg, they signed Patrick Corbin last year. I'm like, all right, cool, and they have enough bats. So I like to go off that 10, 12, 15 range, and I like to take one of those teams, and then I hedge them. This year, I hedged with the Yankees, so when they lost the Astros, I was obviously sweating, but the Nationals pulled me through, so free money for everybody out there this year.
No, there you go. So once again, this is for entertainment purposes only. The disclaimer is, if you don't have the money, don't bet the money. Don't bet what you don't have. What's the wife think about this? Does she know about this? Does she know you're a degenerate?
I think she's kind of catching on. So I told her today to take the kids to the zoo. I bought some tickets and I said, yeah.
Because you knew you'd be on.
Yeah, because she's off today. So she would have been watching.
Does she have a car? Does she have a radio? Could she not find this segment?
Yeah, maybe that part. I'm hoping she's right in there right now. So I just text her. So.
All right, there you go. So let's get into it then. Now, are you ready for the clone onslaught?
Yeah, bring it.
What happens when you give me bad advice? What are you thinking? Like, damn, man, I just told the boss to do this, and he did it, and it cost him.
Be honest. Thursday night's rough. I have to be, on point Thursday nights because I see you Friday. So if I do something stupid on Sunday or Monday, you got a couple days to sweat it off, and I can dodge a text message for a couple days.
All right, to be real. Now, like, I don't do everything that you say.
Right.
And my feeling is, about half the time we're on the same page, and the half the time that we're not on the same page, you're right half of that time, and I'm right half the time. In other words, the whole thing's a coin flip.
It is a coin flip, but you're pretty good. You're not giving yourself credit. I mean, you could pick some pretty damn good games. I think you
Stop
might have
Stop sucking up to me,
games.
Man. Stop kissing my ass. I know what you say about me when I'm not around. All right, so let's get right into it. So the Saturday action, you've got Minnesota at San Francisco. The Vikings are +7. They're coming off that really impressive win on the road against New Orleans. The Niners, though, are well-rested. They've got that all-important bye. Who do you like in that matchup?
I think the winner of this game goes to the Super Bowl. I love both teams. I love the Vikings. I love San Francisco. Minnesota's good. They're good. They're balanced. There's a couple weaknesses on the outside for the cornerbacks that Kyle Shanahan should be able to exploit with Emmanuel Sanders and Deebo Samuel. Having said that, and I haven't heard a lot this week anywhere around, Gary Kubiak's in Minnesota. There's nobody
you
that
love
knows
this guy,
I
man.
Love him. I love the Shanahans. I love Gary Kubiak. And there's nobody that knows Kyle more than Gary does outside of his old man, the Lobster. But Gary should be able to give Mike Zimmer a couple hints to, move the points enough. Is it enough for me to take him over the Niners? I don't think so. But the +7 looks really, really good right
You're taking +7?
I'm taking the +7 in Minnesota.
All right, so you like the Vikings +7.
Uh-huh.
All right, then. Mark that down. He's got the Vikings +7. Tennessee went into Foxborough. They punched the Patriots in the face. The Pats clearly, flight deck, are not what they were. The Ravens are a different animal, though, altogether. You can get 9.5 for the road team. Do you want those points?
I hit it. I hit it right when it came out. I hit it, and I got 10, actually. So I got the Titans and 10, and I think it's the same blueprint again. It's Derrick Henry. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He's going to be a physical runner. He's going to go right at Baltimore. Baltimore's got some very good interior linemen. Michael Pierce and Brandon Williams, and they could clog up some lanes, but their tackling hasn't been on point. And I think Tannehill makes a couple more plays here than he did last week. The Ravens secondary is really, really good, without a doubt, but not as sticky maybe as the Patriots. So Tannehill's playing. I mean, he's one of the best freaking stories of the season, so I think he makes a couple big plays, and I'm leaning towards I took the Titans.
You mean leaning? Dude, you hit that the second it came out. You just said so.
Right.
What is your philosophy on that? You said that the second that thing hit, you hit it at 10. Do you like to wait? If you see a number that big, will you jump on it? Will you bet inside the game? How do you approach it?
I always wait. So usually during the season on that Sunday night, I'll get those lines, and I'll look at them right away, and then I'll be like, okay, is there something that maybe the house or somebody else is missing? And I'm like, okay, cool, and I'll hammer it then. If I don't hammer it then, I usually wait till kickoff, till I see exactly who is playing. But if I love something enough, I will hit it hard right away.
Flight deck settling in. All right, those are the Saturday matchups. You like both the road dogs tomorrow. Sunday, you've got Houston going to Kansas City. You know how explosive the Chiefs are offensively. You know how much better they are defensively. Houston struggled before they put away the Bills. Is 9.5 points enough to get you to bite on the Texans?
No, it's not. And I know that in week six, the Texans beat Kansas City in Arrowhead. And they did it with running the football almost 200 yards on the ground, and that's what you got to do against Kansas City is
look
burn
at Hawk,
clock.
Man. Hawk's already, like, grinning hysterically and standing up.
All right, go ahead. Finish that thought.
So you got to burn clock, keep Mahomes on the bench, but the Texans, the Bills should have beat the Texans. There's no doubt about it. Bills just, I mean, they choked at the end of the day. And I just think Mahomes, like you said about him, he is that. I mean, he's elite. He's going to be one of the greatest in the history of the game by the time it's over. And I usually don't throw that around. But this guy's playing with Andy Reid. They're on a different
level. Dude,
you
love Andy Reid.
I love Andy Reid, and I love Pat Mahomes. And Andy Reid on a bye week, hit it, and hit it hard.
I agree with that. All right. In fact, if I'm throwing down, and I am, I'm taking them as well.
Okay.
Even at 9.5. I'm giving up the 9.5. All right, so finally, the Seahawks. This game is fascinating. The Seahawks travel to Lambeau. I love the matchup. Fascinating matchup. Personally, I don't think that Russ Wilson has ever played better than he is right now. I could even make the argument that they're going to give the Packers hell. They'll give the Packers all they can handle straight up. If you can get Russ and the Seahawks plus four, is that too much to pass up in your eyes?
I'm hitting the money line. I don't
you
need
are
the
hitting
four.
The money line.
I think the Hawks now, they're banged up and they're hurt. And the running backs.
You're hitting the Hawks on the money line.
I'm hitting the Hawks on the money line. I think it's a plus 165 right now.
Yes.
So I'm going to take the Seahawks at plus 165. They're bruised up. I think Dwayne Brown might play the left tackle. It's kind of trending that way. They're going to need him. They're going to need to run against the Packers' run defense because that's where their weakness is at. And I love Aaron Rodgers. I love Matt LaFleur. It just seems like maybe next year, this is year one in that system, maybe next year is their year, but I'm with you on Russ. I just think he's going to make some sort of play, and DK Metcalf's playing better too, so I am going to take Russ Wilson and the Hawks.
All right, on the money line.
On the money line.
Let me finally ask you this, man. You did great. What's it like going through life with a head that big?
I don't have an answer to that.
All right, so really quickly, before I let you go, let me give you some reaction. I'm going to give you a taste of what's going on inside your phone right now.
Oh, boy.
Dear Flight Deck, why do you have so many short-sleeve dress shirts?
Because I live in California. There's no reason to have something different. I'm from Colorado, so.
All right, Jim and Green Bay. Yeah. How's that taste? Dope.
I can't even believe they're paying attention to that, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah, they are. Rome Slice. Digital content producer. Way to class it up, Deck. Regards the call center employee that refers to himself as client service specialist. Geoff and Lincoln.
That's fair.
No, it's not. That's your title. See, Drew in West LA tweets, I wasn't expecting Deck's voice to sound like that.
Like Groose, maybe? A little deep?
Johnny in Texas tweets, I never dreamed the Deck would have any bass in his voice. Guess he's gone through puberty. War landing jets on a large boat. DJ Chap 311. Why did the Deck look straight at that stoned bird when he said drugs?
Everybody knows.
Bella B is in. She tweets, honestly, this is riveting. It should be a regular segment. Let's see how the picks are, right?
Yeah, right. I don't want to be Trevor Price.
All right, there it is. If they want to follow you on Twitter, what's your handle?
@James4 Kelly, Kelley. So I might post a little bit more. We'll
do
see.
It. All right, we'll see how it goes. There's more. What? This guy wants to know, how do you feel about LSU at -5.5?
I made the mistake last year, and I think I probably maybe talked you into it a little bit and taken Alabama over Clemson.
Yeah, that went pretty well for us.
It did pretty good. Yeah. So LSU, Clemson, their pass rush, I don't know if they can get the Burrow. So I'm leaning right now towards LSU. Having said that, I did buy a ticket before the season started at +250 for Clemson to win that thing. So that's a good payday if I can get there. But I don't think they can get the Burrow. So Tigers lean.
All right, -5.5. He is the Flight Deck. He is James Kelly. Well done, big head. Nice job. Let's see how that goes.
Thanks for having me in.
All right, so we will see. Now, I'm not necessarily on every one of his picks, but we tend to see this weekend pretty similarly. Give it up for James Kelly. Very happy with that. Again, for entertainment purposes only, we are joined by Eddie George. Eddie, it's good to have you back. How are you?
Man, I am doing wonderful, brother. How are you doing, man? Good. Happy New Year to you, my man.
Yeah, you too, Eddie. Great to hear your voice. Great to have you back. Happy New Year. You know, there's so many things I want to talk to you about with the NFL, college, and life outside of football. But, Eddie, let me start with the Titans going into Foxborough and physically dominating the Patriots. Go back. What did you make of that performance?
I thought it was tremendous. It's across the board. It was a great team effort, complimentary football. From all phases of the game. Defensively, Mike Grable had, Dean Pease had a, sorry about this, had a great game plan going against Tom Brady. Derrick Henry was tremendous. And, of course, Brett Kern, the punter, was outstanding, too, by flipping the field as well.
We're talking to Eddie George. I can tell you're on a plane, Eddie. I can hear the speaker behind you, so thanks for playing through. You mentioned Derrick Henry. I want to talk about him for a minute because earlier this season, he gave you a lot of credit for helping transform his game. He texted you after a 2019 loss to the Chargers back in 2018. Eddie, what do you remember about receiving that text, and what kind of conversation did the two of you have?
Yeah, I had that conversation with Derrick. Hopefully you can hear me okay.
Yeah, you sound great. I got you.
Pilot. But we had that conversation right after they came back from London, which they lost. And there were rumors circulating about possibly trading Derrick. And clearly he was upset about his play. And it was funny because I was at the game in London. I was watching it. And I saw one play specifically in the second quarter where he kind of turned down a linebacker in a hole. And he took him down easy. So he called me the following week. And he said, hey, what do you see? And I basically told him, I said, man, you know, you're too big to be running as soft as you are. And use your size to your advantage. You know, you can hit the home run. You're designed to hit the home run. But you've got to be able to be consistent in between the tackles, take defenders on, and use your size to his advantage. And my God, he's just been on fire.
He says, in addition to that, Eddie, that you gave him a different outlook, a different mindset, that you said to him, look, it's either going to be you or it's going to be me, and it ain't going to be me. Is that what you told him?
Absolutely. You know, it's give or take. And sometimes it will not be you, but you've got to be able to impose your will on the next player. And that's the words that I use for him, to say, impose your will every chance you get. And understand that they don't want to see you in the third, fourth quarter, and they certainly don't want to see you later in the year, especially now when everybody's tired, the defenses are tired. But he's just picking up ahead of steam right now. So kudos to Derrick, you know, for reaching out to not just myself, but to Chris Johnson, to other legends of the game, other players, just to get a full insight on what they see so he can maximize his potential and to realize where he's at. Because a lot of young guys won't necessarily reach out. They figure that, hey, I got it. I'm an All-Pro or I'm a Heisman Trophy winner and I don't need any wisdom. But there's some things that we can bestow upon these young men to help them along, and I just give him a ton of credit for having the humility to reach out.
We're talking to Eddie George. I'm glad you mentioned Chris Johnson. He was one of my all-time favorite backs. All right, so now they've got a different challenge. They're going on the road to Baltimore tomorrow night. You are no stranger to the battles with the Ravens. As you look back on your time, what do you remember about those games?
Oh, man. Two words come to mind when I think of the Ravens, and that's pain and misery and triumph, three words. And the pain of 2000, the pain of 2008 when I wasn't on the team, but the triumph of 2004 when we went into Baltimore and beat that team. And the mentality for that game is simple. Is you lock the gates of any venue and you understand it's going to be iron fist thrown for 60 minutes and the last man standing wins. And that's how those games go, and I anticipate the same thing coming up this Saturday.
Eddie George is joining us. And, of course, Eddie, when you think about the Ravens, you think about Ray Lewis. There's a story that goes back to 1995, and you and Ray met up in Los Angeles at an event for college players. And the story goes that you told him, quote, you never want to see me in the league. You're too small. You're playing that East Coast football, end quote. Is that how that went down? And if so, how did he respond?
Well, I didn't initiate
that comment. Okay, I got you.
Okay. You know who Ray? You know who Ray is.
Right.
You talked to Ray, so we were having a good time, and of course he starts off. We were very competitive during playing, paintball guns, and we were playing cards. We were doing a drinking game, and you know, when you involve a little bit of alcohol, you start to get a little courage. You start to speak the truth. And he said, Eddie, you really don't want to see me on the field. I'll take your head off or something like that. And at the time, he was about 212, and I'm about 227, you know, 6'3", 227. And I played against Kevin Hardy and Simeon Rice and some of the big monsters, the Big Ten. I'm like, man, you're too light in the ass. There's no way you can see me. But he took that to heart, and he saw me a few times in the hole and got the best of me on a couple of those occasions.
I love that. You're too light in the ass. Ray Lewis, Eddie George joining us. Eddie, you and I have talked in the past about the fact that you're a Renaissance man now, and you recently did this interview where you were talking about financial matters, and one of the nuggets that you dropped was, quote, if you live by the gross, you'll die by the net, end quote. I love that. Can you lay it out for me? What do you mean by that, and how do you use that both in business and in life?
Well, basically understanding your finances and understanding that Uncle Sam will always get the first cut. Yes. And it's basically that simple philosophy of knowing who gets the first dollar. And and really just handling your finances with responsibility. And thinking in terms of, do you want to live rich? A rich lifestyle, or do you want to have generational wealth? And two different approaches are applied to that. So I'm a big proponent of somebody really just thinking in terms of compounding interest, finding things that are going to appreciate over time, versus living a short-lived, fast life and that's made up of tons of jewelry and expensive homes and living outside of your means. It's just really thinking in terms of long-term play.
It's good stuff. If you live by the gross, you'll die by the net. Eddie, I've got so many things I want to talk to you about, but I want to make sure we get our pitch in. You're working with Dr. Pepper. What are you up to with Dr. Pepper?
Yes, man. Dr. Pepper, I had the opportunity to be the doctor on a few of their commercials this past year, the past 2 years. We're in their second season. But Dr. Pepper is giving away some sodas at the big game on Monday against New Orleans. And it's the new Dr. Pepper cream soda. And they'll be in shelves in March. But for people that are not attending the game, they'll have an opportunity to get some of this Dr. Pepper by doing a hashtag, by sharing it on their social media outlets and platforms by hashtag Game Day Duo. You can post your photo with somebody which you're watching the game, use your social media platforms, and Dr. Pepper will randomly select 25 lucky winners and to receive two bottles of this incredible soda. I've had it myself. It's amazing. It's great with I won't even go there, but it's a great, great drink to have when you're doing your tailgating. So that's what we're doing this year with Dr. Pepper. They've always been woven into the fabric of college football, and they continue to do it now.
My man, I think you were going to mention what alcohol it goes great with, and for some reason you stopped.
I was, but I don't want to do that. I'll get a tap on the wrist like, hey, we're not, this is corporate, so I'm going to stay away from it. And we'll go from there.
I got you. I see you working. Eddie George, my guest. Listen, before you go, you were watching your alma mater, Ohio State and Clemson, in the semifinal game. When your guys jumped up on them 16-0, what were you thinking?
I was nervous because we didn't score touchdowns. And with a champion, a defending champion, you've got to be able to put the foot in your throat, in their throat and crush their neck. And that's where I was concerned, because at some point in time, you knew that Clemson was going to make their run. It was going to be fast and furious, and it was. It was an amazing game. There were some questionable calls, but I think great players overcome bad coaching and bad officiating. And unfortunately for Ohio State, they just didn't have enough time. They just ran out of time and made a critical error in the end of the game. But the Buckeyes proved well. It was a hard-fought game. I think it was one of the best games of the year, in my opinion.
So finally, Eddie, who do you like on Monday night?
Oh, man. Oof. I can't count out Clemson because Brent Venables has had, 8 days or something like that in between the last game that they played and now. And so you can devise a game plan defensively to kind of slow LSU down to give your offense chances. But I see zero flaws in LSU. They're playing for each other. It's a different feel. They believe the culture now that's been established that program has been one to marvel at, and Joe Burrow has been simply phenomenal. So it's hard to go against LSU. So I'm going to lean LSU by two touchdowns.
Yeah. Eddie, let me finally ask you this. You and I mentioned, you're a Renaissance man. You have this great energy and this great perspective, and you've just kind of reinvented and continued to build yourself in your life. You know, as a guy who had so much success on the field, do you feel like it'll never be the same ever again once you stop playing? Or do you feel like, in a way, your best years are in front of you and not behind you?
Man, your best years are in front of you. I've always said that, you know, football, basketball, any athletic platform is just a platform for greater things. You have to have the courage, the gratitude, and the appreciation to move forward in that. And that's just really self-development. Whatever that looks like, whether it's going to church or going to motivational conferences or spending time with your family, really getting your values and your priorities straight and really celebrate the blessings that you do have in your life, things will just come to you. So I'm always one that's always looking for growth, spiritually, intellectually, you know, always stretching myself in different ways that I never thought of. Cause my core philosophy is don't think outside of the box, eliminate the box. So you eliminate all possibilities on playing it safe. And I'm always going to stretch myself and think the impossible.
In other words, you want to level up and you want to get squared away. It sounds easy. It's not, but that's the goal.
It's not. Absolutely. You get it because you've done it yourself.
Clones. I want to talk to you about Root Insurance. I love this company. Like, what if good drivers did not have to pay for the bad drivers? Root Insurance thinks that the old way of pricing car insurance is just not right. It's not fair. So Root developed a mobile app which measures driving behavior. By removing bad drivers from the equation, Root saved good drivers up to 52% in 2019. So gone are the days where your car insurance rate is based on your credit score, your age, your gender, your zip code. With Root, it is car insurance made easy. It's using an app to base rates primarily on how you drive. Better drivers do deserve better rates. That's why the Root app uses driving behavior as the primary factor to determine car insurance rates. And in 2019, Root was the fastest growing direct insurance company in the United States. All you have to do is download the Root Insurance app, drive normally for a few weeks during that Root test drive, and then see how much money you can save. Don't wait. Give it a try. Head to your app store, download the Root Insurance app, sign up in less than 1 minute, and start your test drive today. That's R-O-O-T. Once again, download the Root app today or visit joinroot.com and learn more and see how much money you can save. It's not available in all states. Disclaimers may apply. Visit joinroot.com for details. He is Gary Payton. Gary, it's good to have you on. How are you?
How you doing, Jim?
Good. Good, Gary. How about you?
Doing great, man. I don't got no complaints.
All right, listen, let me ask you about the work you're doing these days as an analyst, because a lot of former players get into broadcasting and analyst work, and then, Gary, they get kind of cautious about what they say. They don't want to offend anybody. They don't want to hurt any feelings. It seems like you don't have a problem doing what you've always done, and that's being real. What did you think about the media generally when you played, and what's it like being on the other side now? How do you approach it?
Well, when I was playing, Jim, it was a little different, because I always thought about they were doing stories. That's what they had to do. If they were going to be on one side, it was going to be on the other side. If they had to put you down, it was going to put you down. That's why I didn't want to get relationships with anybody, because it's a business. They got to sell papers just like we got to go out there and sell seats and make people come in and get in the arenas of what they did, of us playing basketball. Now that I'm on the other side, I really don't want to be anybody's friend on that anyway. I know how to respect a lot of the players because I was in that locker room too. It's a thing where you got to understand and give them respect. Don't say stuff that you done did in the locker room with them. Ask them questions. With me, I give my opinion on how our player is playing or what is really about. You know what I'm saying? I don't do that. But I don't talk about personal stuff. I don't talk about all that other stuff. If the guy's not playing well, I tell him he's not playing well. If he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing, he's not doing what he's doing, I'm going to say it. And that is what it was. If I was playing hard in my day to do the same thing, I'm not going to sugarcoat it and say, oh, well, I was on that level. You're going to do it the way I thought I was supposed to do it, and that's just the way I go about it.
He's a Hall of Famer. He's Gary Payton. He joins us now. Gary, the big story from yesterday was not Russell Westbrook going back to OKC. It was Kendrick Perkins seeing Russ going back to OKC and then tweeting in part, quote, Russell Westbrook is the best player to ever put on an Oklahoma City Thunder jersey. He is Mr. Thunder, end quote. Obviously, Gary, that worked its way back to Kevin Durant. He and Perk got into it on Twitter. You know, obviously the mention of OKC is tricky for a former Sonic, but what is your reaction to what Perk tweeted?
Well, you know what, Perk is on the other side now. He knows how to get people to start listening to him. Perk was my rookie at Boston. It is what it is. That's what is so bad about this social media. You know what I'm saying? When you got to get likes. Perk knows that if he says something about him, a lot of people are going to listen to it. Now that's why we're talking about it now. Perk has done what he wanted to do. He got himself bigger, getting his name up in there. He's getting a lot of static going out of. And plus, he knows that Kevin Durant looks at a lot of this stuff all the time. This is what he does. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of these things where Perk's got to understand. He's got to be respectful, and he's got to be where he's going to be. You know, don't say stuff about being in the locker room and about all that. That's your opinion that you think that Russell Westbrook is the best player to ever play, put a jersey on in Oklahoma. That is his opinion. To him, reason he says that is because Westbrook stayed there and represented Oklahoma City. He didn't leave and go anywhere. That's why he's saying that. And then we all know, basically we know, you know that Kevin Garnett has pretty much been a little bit better than Westbrook. You know what I'm saying? Not a lot, but he's better than him. So that's just the way it is. You know what I'm saying? That's his opinion. But don't start going taking shots at his eyes about he averaged 2 points as a center. His skill level is not like that. Now you're getting it too personal. Now you're going to see each other on the streets, and then it's going to be personal if you want to do something with each other. But that's just not the way it is. He did what he wanted to do. He got people to understand and look at it. And I think Durant should have just said, whatever, okay, good. Hope you feel that way and leave it alone. But you know how this social media goes.
Now, I know how it goes, and I know how KD goes on social media, Gary, and you know that Perk does too, and it worked, right? I mean, it worked.
Right.
All right, so as I mentioned off the very top, you are working with NBA All-Star Voting and Google. How do the fans go about voting?
Well, you know what you got to do. You get online, you can do all the stuff that they're voting that you want to. Then you know they got a two-for-one day. It's twice. It's a two-for-one two times where that you can go in and you can get two votes for one. You know what I'm saying? And you just got to keep on voting and do the things that you need to do. Vote for your favorite player, man. You know it stops on Martin Luther King Day on Monday, January the 20th at 11:59 p.m. Just keep voting. That's what you want to do. We want to see the Lucas. We want to see the Trey Youngs in this, man. We want to see new blood in here. Just keep voting, you know, and go support your guy. If you're a Dallas person, support him. Go out there and flood it. If you're an Atlanta guy, go out there and flood it. These guys deserve it. You know, they're young players that's playing very, very well, changing the game, changing the culture of basketball. You know the LeBrons are going to be there. You know the AD's going to be there. The Kawhis are going to get in. The James is going to get in there. But let's see some new blood, the Pascals. Let's see some of them get into it. You know, that's what we want to see. We want to see these kids get in there and just vote, flood. Keep going online, do it, do whatever you got to do. Go to the boxes. They're going to start being out there. Just do it. Just vote.
That's how you nail a pitch right there. Listen, before you go, you mentioned the young guys. So you've got Luka. Gary, I mean, the guy's 20, and to see him doing what he's doing right now, you were the glove, you are the glove. If you were playing right now, how would you go about stopping Luka?
Well, what I'll do is I'll just try to pressure him, just try to make him uncomfortable. You can't stop a guy like that. He's too big, he's too good, he sees the floor very well, he can rebound the basketball, he can shoot the basketball, he can get to the basket. In our day, I would flood him to the big man and beat him up. Every time he goes to the basket, I'll put him on his back. I'll make him understand that you're going to get hurt. I will bring somebody off the bench that got six fouls and try to put him on his back every time. That's just the way we play. And then when I'm out there, I'm going to double him. I'm going to double him and get the ball out of his hand, make somebody else shoot the basketball, and make somebody else who is not comfortable in that role of making big shots and making a lot of shots win basketball games. That's how I would play. And then I would make him play on the other end. You got to tire these kids out. You know what I'm saying? If they can go on the other end and just relax and then come back on there and kill you, it's not going to work. I've got to go back at you, and I got to make you be accountable of what you're doing, because I'm not going to keep letting you kill me. You're not going to have 30, 15, and 10 every night on me, and then I don't have 30, 15, and 10 on you. I'm going to kill you every night, and I just think that you got to pressure him more. I would pressure him more and make him be accountable on the other end of the floor.
Man, I hate that this hour is over. I hate that this interview is over. He is a member of the Basketball Hall of Fame, and he appeared today on behalf of NBA All-Star Voting presented by Google and NBA Champion. Gary, appreciate you. That was such a good conversation. Thanks so much for doing that.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate you.
John Carlson is my guest. John, it's great to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, John, before we talk about the season, happy birthday. What are you doing? How are you going to celebrate that birthday? Is it something that you're going to go big with, or do you try to ignore it and just keep moving in season?
No, yeah, I try to just get through the day. Big 30 today, so in this day and age in sport, not too great to be old, but I'll go back with the family that practiced this morning, so just try to relax and get ready for the game tomorrow.
That sounds like a good plan. John Carlson is my guest. So the team right now has got the best record in the NHL at this point. Obviously, you've been a part of some really, really good teams. What is it? And there's still work to be done, but what is it about this team that makes it special?
Yeah, I think we just got a lot of different kind of players. I think obviously we're deep, as are a lot of other teams, but just the different kind of talents that we have, the, you know, physicality element, speed, skill, all that sort of thing. I think there's a lot of game breakers on this team, and a lot of different type of players that make it hard to game plan against us.
We're talking Washington Capitals hockey. John Carlson's my guest. You know, John, there are a bunch of moments I could talk to you about from this season so far, but if we were to go back to Sunday against San Jose, when the team came back from two goals down in the final minute to tie that game and then win it in OT, what's going through your head when San Jose scored with 1 minute left to make it 4-2, and then when the team scored twice in the next 60 seconds?
Yeah, I think the human element of it is, you know, I was on the ice when they scored the empty netter, so they changed us, put a new line on, and we're probably not feeling, the guys that just got off the ice that got scored on probably aren't too pleased with themselves or feeling too great about our chances of winning that game, but those other guys weren't going to get in the moment. Battling it out, I think they probably feel a lot different than we do, and they pop one in really quickly after that. You know, then when you have 45 to a minute left, I think anyone has a good feeling that the potential to score is definitely there, and it was crazy to pull it off and win in overtime. But I didn't think it was that crazy to the point where some of these stats that I've heard about that comeback.
John Carlson joining us. You know, you're going to the All-Star game again this year. Again, you're not in this for personal honors, but the fact that you are going back, what's that mean to you?
Yeah, it means a lot. I think, you know, growing up, you see the All-Star game and, you know, you kind of try to place yourself there as a kid and all that sort of thing. And there's been times where I feel like maybe I've had the season to get the nod and haven't. So I think it's special to me. It'll be fun for the family and, you know, a good reward for a good start to the season.
I mean, John, it seems like you're taking this all in stride, but as I ran down your stats at the top of the interview, I mean, they are pretty ridiculous. You are currently on pace for 99 points this season. Only five defensemen in league history have ever had more than 100 points in a season. Again, it's not about you, but what's your reaction when you hear that? Because not only are you having a great season, you're having a historic season, one of the greatest ever for a defenseman. What's it like to be in the middle of that?
Yeah, I just try to ride the wave, really. I think scoring definitely up and all that. The end of the season gets a little bit tighter, I know, from experience. Just try to ride that momentum, you know, personally. I think it shows in how the team's doing as well and how many goals we're scoring. It's, you know, it's not like I've changed too much. I think I've tried to get better at everything, but I don't think I went to the drawing board this summer or anything and try to change the way I play. I think I'm just maximizing my opportunities right now and look to continue to do that.
Talking Capitals hockey, John Carlson is joining us. John, your teammates talk about how calm you are on the ice. Braden Holtby says, you're so relaxed on the ice, it's almost like you aren't doing anything at all. Obviously, you're doing a lot, but how are you able to remain so calm and so relaxed? What's the key to that?
I think it's my personality. I think I'm a laid-back guy, and maybe that translates in some instances to what Braden's talking about. I think sometimes it can be a detriment to myself as well. So just trying to find the balance, you know, to play with poise and try to see the game pretty well. I think that's, you know, my nose for the game is one of my assets that I try to use. But, you know, just being aware all the time, I think is key against, you know, the game keeps getting faster and guys are bigger and stronger and all that. So, you know, for me mentally, that's the big one nowadays that separates a lot of players, you know, from good to great. And that's what I'm trying to be.
That's the key, right? You're looking for that separation. How do you separate the good to great and the great to some of the best? And then you've got the intangibles. Before I let you go, let me ask you this. Like, when Brooks Orpik retired and Matt Niskanen moved on to Philadelphia, you took over the mantle of alternate captain. Again, guys around you would say that you've been a leader all along, but things can change when you get that letter put on your jersey. How have you gone about being a leader this season? Did you change up in any way, or are you just doing what you've always done?
I think I've tried to be a lot more aware of maybe what I say, whether, you know, in the media or whether it's in meetings or just idle chat with teammates. I think I've always tried to help people, but maybe just a hair more, you know, trying to dig my teeth into a little bit more of that kind of older guy mentor role. And just try to lead by example as well. I think that's the biggest thing nowadays is when guys see you come to work and do your thing, and just kind of how I look at the game. That's what I want people to be able to read from me to learn from. And but yeah, it's definitely more responsibility that I like, and I'm having fun with it.
You know, finally, your head coach, Todd Reirden, you and he go way back. You've got a relationship that's longstanding with him. He talks about how back in the day, some of your teammates would bring their kids into the locker room and sharing the experience, and you would say, someday that's going to be me. Now you've got a couple of sons. How much fun are you having as a father, and what's that mean to you, and to share that with them?
Yeah, that was always, you know, a cool moment for a young guy. I think I came into the league when I was about 20 or so, and seeing all these older guys that would bring their kids in and they would get to skate and hang out with us and, you know, throw us tape before we went on the ice. I thought those were such cool things, and you kind of put yourself in those moments that maybe if my dad ever played in the NHL, that would be pretty sweet to be able to experience those things inside of a, you know, professional locker room. And now that I got my boys, I think it's I try to, you know, bring that tradition to them and trying to teach them to skate. They're still really young for a lot of things, but it's been fun, and I think my sons love it so far anyways, and I hope that they choose hockey one day.
He is the Norris Trophy favorite, a Hart Trophy candidate. The Capitals have got the best record in the NHL. They're at home against New Jersey tomorrow. John Carlson, my guest. John, great to have you on the show. Appreciate that jungle debut by you, and really nice to talk hockey with you. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Let's go to HB, Huntington Beach, Silk Bra. Bra, is that you?
What's up, bro?
It is. What's up, Silk? How you doing?
I'm doing good, bro. I was honored the other day to find out that the fake Silk is everybody's fake caller, so that was pretty cool, I guess, seeing as how the first time he came in, when he took my slot in the Smack-Off, shout out to fake Silk, and the hot dog king of Maine. Dude, I was totally stoked that you did that Seth Greenberg podcast. As a graduate of Cal State Long Beach, the Harvard of the West Coast, it's always great when beach basketball is a topic on the show, so I was stoked on that. Also, just a funny coincidence aside, Karen Greenberg is actually my buddy Kent's sister, a guy I went to high school with, so I'd heard that story before because they know I call the show, but it wasn't really my story to tell, but I'm glad Seth came in with that. Now, as a lifelong Dodger fan, I, of course, am looking at this Astros punishment with keen interest, brah. I'm not going to sit here and argue that the Dodgers lost in the World Series twice because of cheating, especially that Red Sox series, brah. They were never going to win that. The Sox steamrolled them. But that Astros series was super close, Brian, especially I think game five where it was at Minute Maid, went to extra innings. Now, I'm not going to argue that the Dodgers should be awarded the World Series, anything like that. And listen, baseball, there's so many variables. You can't point to that. But while maybe it wasn't a robbery, I think you still get punished for attempted robbery. And the specificity of value was a World Series championship. So I hope if it's all proven out and Rob Manfred gets it all done, that they really throw the book at these guys, because we've been waiting 30 years, Brian. It's really brutal. You mentioned surgery, bro. I'm actually right now in the car on my way over to Hogue in Newport Beach. I'm going under the robot laparoscope, bro. So I'm just looking for a little karma, a little love from the Jungle family, the JTP, to send out your positive vibes, bro, because it's always weird when they put you under that anesthesia, bro. And I'll be out, you know, by like, I think, one or two, bro. But listen, Alvy, send me out with some love, bro. Come on.
Come on.
Bruh. Come on.
Come on.
Bruh.
Come on.
Good night, Al.
Team, right? Thank you all for the 20 points, man.
Yes,
sir. You gave us a chance at the end. I got three words for you.
Weak net was...
Welcome to the Jungle. A tremendous Monday to you. My name is Jim Rome. I am live in Southern California. It is great to have you here. What's going on? How was that weekend? Pretty awesome, I would imagine, for some of you, and pretty crappy for some others.
Yeah!
Kirk takes the snap. End zone and touchdown!
If they own it, they'll know the Vikings did not get their best shot, and that more than anything else, that's the reason the Saints lost, not the refs. Great win for the Vikings. The Dallas Cowboys have agreed to terms with Mike McCarthy. Look, I'm not going to say that deserves a full Price is Right fail horn, but that's the guy you end up with. Ross Tucker.
I mean, it was like you're in high school and you see this other girl and you kind of want to date her, but you don't want to dump your current girlfriend unless you know that other girl is going to like you.
Multiple times.
Offense. This is under fraction.
Yeah.
Defense, number 29.
It's a loophole. And that right there is just a loophole.
The Hood Man is out here dropping bombs like crazy, which is incredible. Gene Steratore joining us.
I'll tell you what, if you bring me back, I'll have a handful of them, Jim, and we could do a good 10 minutes just on those back and forths. I would love to do that.
Mark Few.
Yeah, it's all good, man. Just like you, got the Christmas card. Your kids are young men now, and the same kind of in our family. Everybody's growing up
and just feel unbelievably blessed.
One thing about Few is he is a great guy, but that dude will cut your jewels off.
One tag showing up all over is Penis Man.
There's some people, of course, that think it's funny.
Do I look like I'm laughing? This is not in the best interest of me discussing. The thing is, that's exactly what Penis Man wants.
Penis Man.
Penis Man is not jump of the day. Now, the coaching carousel in the NFL is wild.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! In the living room, smashing pizza and making crank phone calls. Thank you.
Crank, crank.
Crank. Crank. Bob Huggins is my guest.
My question for you is, how'd you fit in Lubbock?
So well. You could not believe how I took to Lubbock and how Lubbock took to me.
I can imagine those folks in Lubbock just fell in love with you from the minute they saw you.
They love me and I love them. You know this, Bob.
Did you have a cowboy hat and boots on?
I didn't even need one. Jane Slater is my guest.
I've been a fan of your show for a long time, Jim.
But how many times, Jane, have you listened to the Toby in Houston call?
Jason Stewart was the first guy that greeted me. I sort of fangirled out when I found that he worked on your show. Oh, my gosh. I have listened to that over and over.
Larry Brown.
Because now the Mets are getting a steal for Cespedes. All thanks to a dumb outfielder and one pissed off pig.
You pig.
Only the Mets. Michael Porter Jr. Michael, it's good to have you back.
What's
How are
up, you? Man? Doing well. How are you?
Good. Really good.
We got a dope team, man.
Randall's down. Oh, no. Oh, Anthony Davis hit the ground hard.
Man, I saw a couple of you idiots questioning this guy's toughness. Have you ever suffered a gluteus maximus contusion? Yeah, that's what I thought. Keep his name out your mouth. A buttocks maximus contusion. Mark Turgeon joining me for a few more moments. What do you like about that lineup when it's on the floor?
Yeah, that's the hard part for me, and it's a gut feeling. And, you know, I played for one of the great ones in Larry Brown and worked with Roy Williams.
Larry Brown is an amazing coach. Loved having him on the program. So I've got a stack of emails and tweets in response.
Email.
I'm sure Coach Turgeon knows how to motivate his team. Dangle the carrot, if you will. Like, I don't even know what that means.
Right in my face.
Shout out to Toby in Houston.
LaVal Jordan, what did your dad say to you on that drive?
He looks over at me in the car and says, hey, what else are you looking for? I would love to have had a great comeback for him. As I thought about it, I didn't really have much, which hurt at the time. I always have something, you know.
Always.
I had a mouth on me.
Hopping in my brand
new
So
RV.
What is that? What is your brother doing? Oh, he's changing out the poop tank. Happy trails. Y'all can go there. I'm not going near that crap tank. You know why I bust my ass? So I can take care of my business in a bathroom, in a hotel, with a bed. Tori Holt.
Once I figured out that I could actually do this and do it for a living, you know, as I got older and make some money, I was like, shit. It's really cool.
I hadn't heard bells for the last 30 years. What's that got to do with it?
The hell is Tom Thibodeau doing there? The hell is that old man talking about? The hell is everybody laughing at?
I don't hear bells.
You heard bells. Are you sure you're not having a stroke?
So from this time forward, I would like to be referred to as the Tobin in Chapel Hill. Come on.
I dropped it in between his legs, and he blocked another punt.
Oh! Keyshawn, man, I have read the book, and I'm not killing you. I just said you whacked your teammates, and I couldn't believe it.
Did I whack him?
Dude, you whacked him. You called your quarterback a J.
Wild times, right? Man, that rapping game is hard, dog. Glove if you need him.
Because I'm not going to keep letting you kill me. You're not going to have 30, 15, and 10 every night on me, and then I don't have 30, 15, and 10 on you.
We are joined by Eddie George.
Oh, man. Two words come to mind when I think of the Ravens, and that's pain and misery. And triumph.
I love the Shanahans. I love Gary Kubiak. And there's nobody that knows Kyle more than Gary does outside of his old man, the Lobster. The plus seven looks really, really good right
there. You're taking plus seven?
I'm taking the plus seven.
Couldn't get the fams, but I did get the English beat.
I'm in, Jim. Whatever you want.
Uh-oh. Yeah, dude, now he got a 400-pound gorilla stuck in his gut.
Hey, thanks a lot, Jim.
Can't believe Jerome hung up on me.
Don't wait like 4 years to call me back.
Giant brass ball.
25 meatballs.
I heard bells.
Going under the robot laparoscope, bro.
He's not even in my
Mahomes? Penis man.
You like that?
That is a no-no.
Keep it rolling.
Get you light in the ass.
At James, the number 4, Kelly, K-E-L-L-E-Y.
Good night now! Good night now!